Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lighthouse Radio.
Lighthouse Radio.
With some things that you need to know before you go to bed.
Before you go to bed.
Before you turn the light out, turn it on. Lighthouse, turn it on. Lighthouse Radio.
Lighthouse Radio.
With some things that you need to know before you go to bed.
Before you go to bed.
Before you turn the light out, turn it on. Lighthouse, turn it on.
With your host, Tim Knight, with Tia D and Erica Chanel. Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
I'm Millie Whopping on any spot. You know what's so sad? Hi, everybody. But you know what's
well,
so
I was
sad
about to
is
say.
You know you're getting old. Right. You know you're getting old when you can't get the new dances that you got to practice them. You got to practice.
That's what you be doing. You be in the mirror practicing. Good
well,
evening,
what I'm
everybody.
Doing right
what's up?
Exactly. Let's welcome everybody to the Night
Hello.
House. We are here
wow.
once again. We missed
Damn.
Off.
I mean, sorry.
Yeah, well, let us get through the introduction, shall we? We missed you guys last week, but we are certainly glad to be back in the Night House bringing you this informative entertainment program before you go to bed. All right. We thank you for turning into the Night House. Does anybody know which number that we can be reached at? Does any of the co-hosts know?
Yes, I know. I know. I'm raising my hand.
All right, raise your hand.
You better
okay.
raise your hand, girl.
You can... I got the answer right. All right. You can reach us at 323-443-7453.
West Coast time! And the chat room is open. Now, let's get it started, ladies. Carry on.
Okay. I just felt like I was chastised a little bit. I don't know. Yes,
not at all.
Like
no, really.
Like
but we have to greet our listeners. That's first and foremost. We can't just go
you
on
know
without.
I completely agree, which is the reason why I stopped myself and said hello. But it's like the people also have to understand is there was a pregame that happened before we joined them, before they came into the party, before they joined the Night House. Okay, so that's where that stemmed from, people. You know, nighttime just gave me the Night House whip, and, you know, I'm going to just digress, and I'm just going to wait to be summoned. I feel like Erica Chanel tonight because it's just...
mm-hmm.
It's not like that, ladies. Don't be sensitive. It's not like that. But we do got some great stuff coming up on the show tonight. Got some cool stuff. Going to be playing Beyonce's joint. I want to get everybody's feedback on that. I didn't fully mm-hmm. understand what he was talking about during the football thing, you know. So, I mean, during the Super Bowl. So, we're going to figure that out tonight. Other than that, what's going on? Talk to us real quick. Ms. T.A.D., I want you to go first. You know, I don't want you to feel like I'm cracking the whip. I just want to hear what's going on in your world. Let's talk to the people. What's happening?
Okay, well, the people will definitely understand when I say I was whipped when I was informed, and we all were informed, that we were in the Night House. So, Night House represent. I'm throwing up my case because, you know, I don't want no problems. I don't, you know, live my life that way. But it is a Tuesday. I think it's the 8th. It is
It's the ninth.
See, look mm-hmm. at that. See, I was off Monday, so you know when you're off, you get
mm-hmm.
your things get mixed up. But it's Tuesday
good
the ninth.
For you.
Yeah, it's Night House Tuesday. We're all here together. What's going on is there's some light snow. We had a system come through the area. We're in the tri-state area. Didn't stick, thank God. And that's all. Life is good. I'm feeling good. I'm completely blessed. Hallelujah. Erica Chanel?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm very well. Having a good night. Off tomorrow, which is good. So I'm excited to be here with you too.
We love you.
That's what I felt like. I felt like one of those kind of moments, like a Hallmark moment.
Exactly.
It did.
We are in the house. So, yeah, well, it's Black History Month. All right. So, I mean, that's always good. And I guess we better, all right, we can't miss any more weeks because the month will be over. So we got to make sure we stay on point. This is the shortest month of, you know, the year. And it's not really a big deal. But you know what? What is going on? What are we doing, if anything, for Black History Month? Is anybody doing anything out there?
You mean literally going out doing something? You mean us or other people?
Like, are we, you know, are we, you know, talking to kids? Are we informing our kids of what's going on? And, you know, those of us, or, you know, just anyone, are we bringing them into the knowledge of all the great, wonderful achievements that Black folks have made? Are we harassing our coworkers?
I haven't been around any children to talk to them about it, but when I am, I surely will. But are you doing that?
Don't be that. Don't be that. But it's
I do that every day. I do that every day. I do Black history every day around here. But what I also
do... You know what? Well, you are the epitome of what it is to be a Black man and a Black father in this world.
Okay.
So gold
single
star
Black
for you.
And I'll take
gold
a gold star,
star
and a check. Yeah, gold star and a check. So, but seriously, you know, I've always done it. Like from... you know, like when it was younger, and not to toot my own horn, but I think it's important to, you know, for those who are listening, that take them to the library. You know what I'm saying? We should get all these books, people, and stuff really that I didn't remember, like Satchel Paige. Like, I mean, you know their name, but you didn't really know their whole story. Like, I mean, what it took.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. I was thinking about
I know
Harry
Satchel Paige.
When you said that.
Well, yeah. You know, same vein. They look about the same. But just like the stories that they went through to achieve what they achieved. You know what I mean? Yeah, so,
exactly,
on a, you know.
Exactly.
On a, yeah, I mean, on a funny yet serious note, but like, when you think about, like, what the, like, in, like, in us looking back on it now, like, the great achievements and all that stuff, but just imagine being in that moment in time where your life was pretty much on the line, you know what I'm saying, for trying to stand up for something. And, we, you know what I mean? So it makes you really think, like, man, I really want my life to have such an impact. And when I'm gone 30, 40 years from now, that it still rings on. So it definitely should inspire us to want to do and reach more. So that's my little Black history moment. Yep. Do more.
Yeah, I mean,
more
I don't
people.
Even know how to follow that because, I mean, I am around children every day. And I used to do that a lot, especially during Black History Month, because we only get once a month. But, you know, I have been slacking in that arena. I haven't gone as far as you with the library and, you know, taking the kids there. You know, that's an idea. That's a nice day trip, spend the day at the library, you know, get some books, feel the books, you know, so it's not, you know.
Feel the books.
So, yeah.
Is that what you said?
Feel the books. Yeah, because everything is so technology driven. Like Shay,
Shay
actually enjoys
one at a time.
Good.
Maybe we should do signals, Erica. I'm gonna go beep, and you go beep. Wait.
That would be better.
So
Erica,
Shay
you stay
actually
talking.
Enjoys one at a time. Tim, I did the beep one at a time. I did the beep. So Shay actually enjoys a paper book, an actual physical book, versus like reading something on her phone. So she does kind of enjoy that versus. So it's good to fill a book because everything is like on your phone, on your second screen devices. You got, you know, you're no one's really at the library. I'm actually surprised they're still open. Those are what you know.
Well,
who's going to close the library?
Well,
you hear my move?
I know libraries that have closed because they're, you know, because they're free library. If nobody in there, you don't have no labor anyway.
Right.
Everything is so technology driven. everything is like online, you can do it, and everything is so accessible and at your fingertips. It's like you went to the library when you needed to find out information. Right now, information is with you at all times if you need information.
You're absolutely right. Now that
Well, believe it or not, there's a lot of people in the library. Number one, free movies. So a lot of people in there, free movies, free internet. So the people that, the most I go there because, you know, when I'm writing, it's quiet for the most part. So, I mean, there's people doing their homework there, school research. So people still use it. The one in, you know, Voorhees. So I don't know about anywhere else, but.
You used to go there all the time. I remember that.
I loved it. Yeah, I wrote my whole book there. Yeah, I'll be in there. Hold on, I can't talk.
The library is good, though, because it has a lot of old, even though, like, some articles and things like that you can actually, like you said, touch, like the books and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Information that you can't. Like, I know I have a friend that was doing something and she could only get it at the library, some information. Mm-hmm. So it's good for something.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Well, did anybody do anything special for the Super Bowl? Did y'all even watch the Super Bowl?
I watched the Super Bowl. I went to a party and
okay.
That was good. I didn't really watch the Super Bowl, though. Ollie was really there to watch Beyonce. That was it.
I watched
the
halftime show.
Wait, sorry.
Yeah.
I can't.
I watched the halftime show, and that's it. I didn't watch any of the games at all. I used to really be into football, but I just became too emotionally invested, and I'm screaming at these people who are not worried about a thing. And I had, like, well, I'm screaming at you, I could be making money. I just don't, it was just too much. And my team would never win, so it was just frustrating, and overall, I just gave it all up.
Well, for those who did not hear this Beyonce join and or did not understand what she was saying, we're going to play that right now.
People can't understand what she's saying? Is that why you're saying that?
I didn't. No, I didn't hear what she said.
Let's
so
hear it. There's a whole big
what
ordeal about that.
At the New Orleans. Bitch, I'm back. I'm popular the man. Corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklace. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama. My bag, swag.
Ooh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I like that.
I do not come to play with you, ho. I came to slay, bitch. I like cornbread and dollar greens, bitch. Oh, yes, you best to believe it.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklace. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama.
That's about enough of that. I can't go on.
Obviously, from your tone from the beginning, oh, I don't understand what she's saying. You don't like that song?
I don't think it's going to be a number one hit. I'll tell you that much. But,
I like that.
It already is going to. It is going to be a number one.
Yeah,
hit.
I don't know.
But I mean, let's be clear. She is, you know, part of Illuminati. I mean, let's just be honest.
Here's the thing. I saw so many controversial statements and stuff about this song and how she is. Someone called her today the Satan's entity.
Yeah. I refrain from saying that myself, but, you know, now that it's out there, yeah.
Satan's entity and... you know, her demonic spirits, and she had, like, a chain that represented, it's a word with a B, symbol.
I got a couple.
This is so ridiculous.
Go ahead, dude.
Don't understand. It's Beyonce. She is slaying. Okay, if you look at the visuals of my girl just slaying and just speaking, she likes her baby hair with baby hairs and an afro. She likes her Negro with a Jackson 5 nostril.
Lord, you got
that's
that.
That's her prerogative. That's her
absolutely.
Prerogative. Okay?
Yes,
yes,
and
that's
her. So she could sing about it if she wanted. If she could get her Sasha Fierce on if she wanted. Beyonce is an entertainer. I don't know what messages people think she's really trying to give out. But if anything I get from Beyonce is confidence. There's nothing else. Nothing else.
Well,
she's slaying, and you cannot hate on that. Like,
is it all right if I speak after Tia, Tim?
Did you boop boop? Do you have to do the signal?
Did I beep? Oh, I didn't beep yet.
Yes, you got to beep in.
Okay, because I heard him coming in, so I had to, like, get in there real quick. So, first of all, everything that Tia is saying is absolutely correct. She is an entertainer. Why do people always feel, I don't understand, demonic? Like, really? The devil? What, Lucifer? Like, I don't get it. Like, do you hear what she's saying in the song? Tim, I'm talking to you.
Are you talking to me? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, let me
address that. Who else am I talking to?
Keep in mind, folks. I mean, anytime, there has to be some type of force that's propelling you to the top. Now, if you think about it, why would you have such a platform that could only be used in one way? I mean, the same people that put you up on these platforms want you to project a certain type of image, and you are still, I'm not even in all that together tonight, folks, but I'm
trying
to
understand.
Work with
help,
me.
Help,
I'm about to bring it. Let me explain this to you, Erica. It's bigger than entertainment. So, of course, I mean, but you are really get down into, you have to really look into it and do some research on things. Of course, that's what the masses believe. Oh, what in the world are they talking about? Where did this stuff come from? Why? This could never be true. But then at the same time, you have to think about your government that way. I know it seems like it's a big difference, but it's really not. Because people look at the president, oh, the president would never, oh, no, they would never do this, that, and the fourth. They would never do these such heinous crimes. They would never be behind certain things that that we would consider sinister, right? But just like that platform, I mean, and they, you know, all of us, you know, I like Beyonce's music-wise and stuff, but what is she really saying to the youth? You know what I'm saying? Prior to this song, I guess. But what are you using your platform for?
You know, she's
are you
benefiting
encouraging
Flint
little girls?
Her.
Let me finish. Now I didn't get the boot. But what I'm saying is that, like, if you really look into, like, the demonic force behind the music industry, like, even old heads like Chaka Khan, they talk about it. Like, I mean, if you really dig up and see what these people have to say about the music industry, then you'll know it's just not so simple as just, oh, you got a great song, we're putting your record out there. It's bigger than that. You got to play their game. You got to do what they want you to do, or you won't even have any fame. And if you go too far to the left, then they're going to discredit you. And then they're going to make you like a crackhead and then kill you. And all that. I mean, this is too many examples of this.
But now, here's the thing, though, Kim. Kim, here's the thing.
Is that what they did to Tupac and Biggie?
Listen. There's always a conspiracy in every single part of life in general, what big or small. No one is equating the conspiracies of the government and what they're capable of. Nobody puts anything past the government and what they're capable of.
But not the
music. I understand what you're saying of the influence. Okay, can I finish?
Go ahead.
The music, I'm not saying the music industry is not corrupt as well, but you just said that they make them do certain things and portray a certain image and do certain things. That's the same thing with your day-to-day job. You have a job to do. If somebody's paying you money, you have a job to do. If you're making money, you have a job to do. I can see in some of Beyonce's music, maybe, you know, I know a lot of little girls look up to her and they idolize her, and it could be very controversial, but that is also a part. If you don't want your child listening to that, you can only be susceptible to it if you're aware of it, if it's put in front of you.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, Beyonce's a 34-year-old woman. She is allowed to do whatever she wants to do. And there are so many other people out here, performers, actors, whatever, are doing 10 times worse than what she's doing. She is here to entertain.
Right.
People take – what? Are you cutting me off?
I didn't say – I said all right.
Oh,
he's digressing.
All right, like, sorry, you talking about all right, like, oh, okay, because you're getting the point. I mean, I'm not – I get what you're saying. There are – other forces out there or whatever, and I get that there are performers who have, I guess what you're saying, sold their soul to the devil to get where they need to be, like you said, the Illuminati or whatever. But I really don't think, I mean, she is a major, huge international superstar, but
okay.
I don't, you know what, whatever.
I got your both points. Y'all both said the same thing, in essence. So I definitely am not negating what you're saying. What I'm saying to you is this. Bigger than the fact that you like this particular artist, you have to believe that there are, again, forces that control the entertainment industry in itself, period. And there's an agenda. And you can see the agenda being displayed from the young boys. The fashion, I mean, the boys is wearing skinny jeans. The girl, I mean, it's just too easy. It's like, just because we can't negate what's really happening because we like people. It's not bashing Beyonce. This is not saying that, you know, she's meaningly, you know, I mean, willfully got into something deeper than her. But you have to, you better believe that the level of fame that she's achieved at this point, that all can be stopped. You know what I'm saying? If she does the wrong thing or doesn't conform with how they want her to do. You know what I'm saying? So it's bigger than that.
We can't blame Beyonce for all these little Negroes wearing skinny jeans.
I didn't say that.
Listen,
I'm not,
if you don't,
you, but I didn't get
we are responsible for ourselves. We are responsible for what we allow our children to do. We are responsible for what we teach to. You just talked about being the epitome black father. Is your boy running around wearing skinny jeans and being influenced by these other people?
But check, that's a common thing that people say, that, you know, all this stuff starts in the home. And yes, that is very true. However, we all know is that our friends.
They're all influenced.
I mean, there's a greater influence by your peers and what you hear on the radio constantly. We can't be there 100% of the time with our children. So with your kids, the iPods and all these different things going on, they're going to hear and see some things they should not be seeing. And the point is that the platform that you have as an entertainer or whatever, that should be used to perpetuate a good stereotype, right? Not negative things. So we, I look at certain artists I like. It's certain things that I wouldn't agree that they do, but I'm not going to turn a blind eye to it because I like them. It is what it is. She's part of a system called the music industry that is certainly influencing the minds of our youth. You know what I'm saying? So it has an impact. Well, I don't know. She got great songs. I can't say that. Yeah. What can you say? But the point is,
she does have great songs. What's her singing about hot sauce and Red Lobster and having afros got to do with corrupting children?
What are you talking? I mean, well, let's look at it. There's two ways you can take that song. I mean, now that's the epitome of ghetto blackness. When you go somewhere and with some hot sauce. Now, that's stuff that black people do, yes. You know that may happen. You might roll with some black people, depending on where you're from. That may have everything she's talking about in the song. Now, here again, now you're exposing white people to stuff that only black folk do. And now they're going to make a mockery out of it, but that's just normal to everyday life for certain black people. That's just how, you
that's
know.
Not true, because I watched this
not
movie.
Only
about,
it's not true.
About,
how is it not true that some people, white folks don't know about
me,
that?
Let me tell you what I was going to say. You're absolutely right about that part. You're absolutely right, because now we're going to see them more perpetuating our lifestyle. I get that, because it keeps happening. Cornrows and all that. But there are other cultures who do carry around hot sauce in their bags.
Well, Eric, it really wasn't the point of the hot sauce. It wasn't the hot sauce. I wasn't there. I'm just saying. It's bigger than the hot sauce. I don't want to get
you
the point
on a roll.
Of the
hot sauce. I just was.
No, it's not even about that. All I'm saying, and I'm not, you know, 100% on, you know, sharp right now, but I would just say that we do need to be more conscious. Specifically, and at what point are we going to take control of the images and the things that we're portraying out there? I was reading this book that everybody need to go get. It's called Brainwashed. I mentioned this last year. Challenging the Myth of Black Inferiority. And this book is awesome. Because it talks about how this whole mentality, you know, really began, like, obviously from slavery and all that other stuff, but it's the whole stud mentality and how the whole Jezebel, the whole type thing, and what we're seeing on TV, the images of black women and all that stuff. Y'all should be offended by some of the stuff, being a black woman, that your, you know, daughters may have to eventually face that peer pressure. Oh, I want to dress like this. You know what I'm saying? Well, how come I can't do this? You know what I'm saying? Then you got to come up with a good excuse. As to why they can't, when your favorite artist can do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, my response, she's buying her own clothes. So when you can buy your own clothes, you can dress how you like.
Well, not really. Because you still have to have taste and class. You still got to know what's appropriate and what's not. Yeah, you could do whatever, but you still need to, you have to somehow have a internal monitor inside. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's not, nah, I shouldn't be wearing that. Now, I know I can, but,
you
know,
but
just
a lot of people don't.
Work.
A lot of people go out the house and they look a hot mess, and nobody's telling them that.
And you know why they're doing that? You know
why
they're doing that?
I know you're going to tell me. Tell me why.
I got the answer. Because you know what? They see these things. They see these nice, they see the Beyoncés, all the famous women who are in shape and who actually look good, wear that stuff and can wear it well, they still have not registered that that don't look good on them. But in their mind, they are dead serious. They really think that stuff looks good. You know what I'm saying? They put the, it's the truth. It can't be no other way. You know what I'm saying? They'd be really serious. Like, let's just tell them. Tell some sister who knows she can't be in nothing that Beyonce ever wore that she ain't supposed to be in that. And she'll look at you like you crazy, like you lost your mind. Like the hair colors and different stuff that women be wearing, you know, the purple, red hair, all that stuff. Like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Like, that's a music video. Like, you can't have red hair, purple hair, blue. You can't get no job nowhere. But this is the influence. The TV, rotting the brain. The music, I digress. I'm just saying.
You sure do. You sure do digress.
Boy, I'm just saying, but I'm just saying,
Tim
I
Knight
don't.
Show. It sure is.
No, well, I'm making a point, and that we, again, my whole thing is always look deeper. And number one, it's never just one side anything when you have a platform. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you can come at something one way, but there's a whole ulterior motive. And most people are going to just go right over their head because they're not thinking past tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? That's the majority of people out here. They just living day to day, involved in their life, and that's it. If you ask them anything above, you know, what's what they ate or what's on TV, no clue. Just saying. I'm done. Ladies, carry on. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God.
It's true. Have you? Oh, all right, let's put it to a test. And we're going next week, we're going to do this test, okay?
Okay.
This is for everybody listening. All right? 323-443-7453. This week, or we got from now to Tuesday, I want you to reach to two, three strangers. Spark up a conversation, right? And I want to just, and just tell me what y'all talk about. Just think of something that's just something political and see what they say. And try to get younger people too, and just see where they, like somebody like teenagers, and see where their head's at. A stranger, just a common gun. Just say, hey, what do you, who you want for the election? Who do you think you're going to vote for? Just something simple like
okay.
that.
Okay.
And see what kind of response you get. All right, that's all. Random people. Anyway, I'm done with that. Moving on. What else is on the docket?
Well,
wow.
This is entertainment, and I don't care. DMX was resuscitated after being found unconscious in a hotel parking lot. His lawyer is saying that. Are you barking? Are you?
Wait, no.
What?
Snoring. He's snoring.
What?
Oh, I thought he was barking at first. I was like, what?
DMX growl.
Yeah, the growl. That's why I thought. Yeah, the growl. That's why she said he was snoring. That's what she said.
Snoring. I'm like, is he snoring? Oh, that wasn't the growl.
You got knocked out? What happened?
No, he didn't get knocked out. He was high. The lawyer keeps saying that it has nothing to do with drug use, but they use a drug called Narcan to try to resuscitate him, and that's usually used on the treat narcotics overdoses. So he out in a parking lot at the Ramada Inn, strung out.
Well, that's no surprise.
I mean, when it comes to DMX, that's the first thing you think of. He lived, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm glad he lived. You know... And what else? So I know you got some other good stuff for us. Stop it.
Tia, you still there?
I'm here.
She not there? All right. Well, I know you don't want to hear no more entertainment, Tim. So
well, don't address
there,
it. Just
there was a young activist in Ohio for Black Lives Matter. His name was Marshawn McCarroll II. He committed suicide outside the state house.
Well, that's entertainment news?
No, I said you said I know you don't want no more entertainment. So
oh, I thought you said
you did segue it like it was going to be something entertaining.
No, I said I know you don't want no more. So that's
and this he got shot. He got shot in the eye.
He shot himself.
Walking down the street and got shot in the eye and he stepped on his feet. Nah, but what happened?
This 23-year-old man who was an activist in the Ohio Black Lives Matter movement went to the state house steps and committed suicide.
That what in the world? Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, he actually was one of the organizers and protesting in Ferguson when that when Michael Brown died in 2014. But it says that he I guess this was a suicide, like as if he was doing like a suicide bomb, but he killed himself. They said he was saying he tweeted right before he had killed himself. Let the record show that I pissed on the state house before I left. And then he also said, if we don't have to live through the hell, just go to heaven. So I guess this is his statement of saying,
you're not going to heaven if you kill yourself.
We can end this right here. We ain't going to start no rally of black folks going around killing themselves, being extra. Black Lives Matter. Now, that's kind of oxymoron. Black Lives Matter, yet you took your own life.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure
but that's serious. Ain't no way it ain't that serious. Now I'm upset like the next man, but I ain't killing myself for nothing. You know what I'm saying? That's horrible. That's crazy. Huh.
Yeah.
You pissed on the White House. The State House?
The State House.
You bled on the State House. This is ridiculous.
Tim,
it is.
It's too early for
I don't know what's going on with him tonight. I can't sleep.
I'm sorry. It's just crazy. That's crazy. I know if anybody listening.
Let's change subject.
Next.
Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, projected winners for the New Hampshire primary. Any thoughts on that?
I like Bernie.
He's just going to. Yeah. He's so old.
Yeah, I just hope he makes it to the election.
He is old. He's like 75 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable.
Old.
And I don't
yeah.
know
and
who's
the
voting
ages.
For him.
I hate
well,
the ages.
You hate the
he's
ages.
Getting, he's getting a lot of youth voters, but I mean, the reality was probably going to happen. Hillary's going to win by default if he don't make it to November.
Right.
I mean, he's about 100 men.
No, I can't.
he's too old for the. I mean, let's just be honest. He's a little too old. I mean, you know, no offense. I'm just joking, but there has to be an age limit. You got to.
I'm looking at him now. He just looked like he almost, you know, in the by the time he get out the White House, he's going to be looking like.
Exactly.
If he's still alive,
what's his name? Douglas. Kirk Douglas. He's going to be looking like Kirk Douglas.
Or the Crypt Keeper.
He's going to be looking like Kirk Douglas. Like, what is going on?
That is something. Because, you know, when they come in, that's just everybody. This happens to every president. You come in there all fresh, excited. 4 years later, you look
fresh.
Like, oh, God. So I don't know.
He's like, what
the
hell happened?
And his hair look crazy. Like, his hair is always, like, disheveled all over his head, like, static clean. Like, they, I don't know why they have to change his clothes and do something with him.
He got those big Frankenstein hands. His hands are so big. These are big old. He probably, was he tall when he was younger? Because you know you shrink as you get old. Because he got these big old Frankenstein. Yeah, he already in the shrinking process. Like, I can't.
Well, I hope he got some ginkgo. He's going to need some ginkgo biloba. He's been getting policies. They're like, nah, man, you already passed that. You passed that bill, man. He's trying to pass bills the second time. He's trying to get reelected. No, I'm running the campaign. Man, you won, brother. You won. He's listening this week? Oh, no, I won. Okay. All right. So, is my wife still over there?
Oh.
They don't know. He's talking. He's like, man, that's just Bernie, man. Go on here, out of here, Bernie. You don't know what's up. He don't forgot. He's like, yeah, you right. How you going to be the president from the earth?
That's just Bernie.
How you going to be a president in the convalescent home? The convalescent house.
I hate to say that you're going to have Alzheimer's.
Exactly.
Yeah, Alzheimer's.
He's, he got his, what they call it? He got his, oh my God, what do they call it? He got his hospice aid, whatnot. Not just.
Hospice team.
not the White House aid. His hospice aid speaks on his behalf. Yeah, well, you know, Bernie's in the bed. He wanted me to come out here and, you know, talk about world foreign policy real quick. But then I have to go get his colostomy bag. I got to get that bag together. So we can't be out, you know, all night. But he did want me to come tell y'all.
I can't believe
it. Thunder. He's shaking. He's scribbling on. He's scribbling on the docket. It's the signatures. It just be scribbled all over the bill. He just, he's just sliding to the White Office.
Wait, he lost functionality in his.
Exactly.
He can't even sign the bill.
Shut up.
He's gonna be sitting there in the chair, just sitting there looking sad.
He's getting wheeled in. He's getting wheeled in. With the saline solution bag.
The State of the Union. They're going to take a break to change, the sorry for the change, Bernie. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. That was probably one notch in hell for talking about that man. Like,
oh, my God.
But it'll be all right. All right, Bernie.
I get you not going to vote for Bernie, are you?
I am.
Like Bernie.
I
it's just so sad.
Wait,
I like Burns.
Talking a second here. Wait, you both like him?
I like him. I just hope he makes it. That's all.
We better make sure he picks a good vice president, because if he die in office, that's who's going to become president.
Yeah, that's true. I don't even know who to. Well, I guess he's for running.
Right.
Maybe
we haven't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah.
They better pick, somebody young.
Yeah.
He has no choice. There's no way he can pick someone his age. He can't pick
nobody older.
He can't pick a peer.
You're reincarnate Abraham Lincoln somebody? You'll reincarnate somebody.
He has to offset that. It needs to be a young minority. Any type of young minority, he's good.
Anybody.
He needs to offset that.
Hell, I might
win. I can see you up there on the campaign trail, campaigning and politicking.
Yes, waving at
people. Debating, talking about, social aspects, what's going on in this world, Illuminati.
And you really got to dig deep. You got to dig deep. You got to dig deep.
Talking about
you
the
gotta
book,
you
got to
read.
I'm informed.
You gotta go to the
library. Trust me. I'm informed. See, I'm a threat to America, right? Because I know as
you
get in what they
say. You just
say what? I'm
very well informed.
Hell, I know as much about this as anybody else, and I know one thing is that you can't believe everything that's on the surface. You got to believe it and say it. Period. That's all I need to know. And I'm younger than Bernie. So, if for nothing else, that's good enough. So Hillary won by a coin toss, I believe.
Yeah.
They said they get that close. That's crazy. A coin toss, literally? Like, come on. That should not be allowed, a coin toss. That's how much this is a joke.
What do you mean? She didn't win by no coin toss tonight?
Yes, she
or...
didn't. No, and Iowa.
Tonight.
I know, but in
Iowa,
she won't know. But I mean, at the end of the day, I feel better about Bernie than Hillary Clinton. Period. If I had to vote today, it would be Bernie Sanders. Straight up. Because he's the logic. I mean, he's logical. He's not for big business. She talk all that garbage, but the reality is a lot of her campaign funds are coming from these big corporations. So she's still playing with the big boys like everybody else before her. He's not concerned about getting a check from different people. I mean, from these corporations. That's the problem. The 1% of America that is rich and that don't want to pay any taxes or their fair share of taxes, and then it trickles down to the middle-class person. And then we got to pay all the taxes. You know what I mean? So she's for big business like all the rest of them. That's all I mean. Bernie, I'm going out there. Nighttime, entertainment.
Who's funding Bernie's campaign?
He's not for Wall Street. Nobody from Wall Street is sending him a check.
I'm in the union for my job, and my union is supporting him.
Right,
so I guess
that's union.
Why he's trying to be with the hardworking man or whatever.
Oh, whatever, that's a good thing.
I mean,
that's a good thing. So whatever, that mumbo jumbo,
That's probably how he's actually getting the votes.
Yeah.
Right.
People can believe
that's
to him.
Why Donald's always talking about I'm funding my own campaign.
Well, he ain't doing all. He's lying too. He ain't spending up all. He ain't spending up as much money as he want to make everybody think. And I watched him the other day do an interview. I never really listened to him, but I was like, let me just see this fool talk. And he really is not a person. Now, he mentioned the fact that he was whipped like a couple times in the conversation. Like, what are you talking about? What they got to do with the country? I don't understand how people feel that this is going to make a good candidate. Because he's rich. What does that mean? I don't get it. So, we're going to see. But hopefully, if you guys are listening, call us 323-443-7453. The chat room is still open. All right. Should we take a quick break?
When
quick
is the
lady?
Primary? Quick question. When is the primary elections in New Jersey?
I was just checking that out the other day. I did not get the date. I'm sorry, but we will have it here shortly. So that's important. We definitely want to vote on that. But I don't know. How do your guys feel? Like, put it like this. Based on the candidates in there right now, do you feel anyone is really capable of handling the country, taking it forward for the next 4 years? And besides, all things aside, like, do you really feel comfortable with this cast that's before us?
I definitely do not feel comfortable with Donald Trump whatsoever. I mean, I feel like he's going to make a mockery of this country, and I don't believe he can handle the job. He talks all this, you know, he wants to belittle people and be condescending, and I just feel like he's just going to make things even worse. And I get these people want to follow behind him because they feel like, oh, he's rich and, you know, and that's all what's important because he knows how to make money, so he's going to be able to do things. But I don't, just like he don't know about foreign policy. Like, I can't even see how he would even talk to people. The way he talks to people, how are you going to get down and talk to some dignitaries and talk to them like they're no good? Like, he is unbelievable. I can't stand
I don't think he's going to win. So everyone,
Donald
Trump aside. Donald Trump aside, how do you feel about the other candidate?
Well, just real quick, April 26th is Pennsylvania, and June 7th is New Jersey.
Awesome. Okay, cool. All right, let's do it. 314, what's up? You got a caller in here. Hey, what's going on, 314? Talk to us. Welcome to Night House.
Hey, what's going on, Night House?
Hello, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
No, I'm happy to see Trump has made some adjustments in his campaign pursuits, and
like
hopefully
what?
Carry on.
What was the adjustment?
Well, you know, the United States is divided up into about 9 to 11 different nations, and the people in the Northeast. Vermont thinks different than the people in Florida. I mean, look at the death penalty. There's been no death penalties, execution in Vermont, where there has been executions in Florida and also in Texas. So his message to the people in Iowa don't care for billionaires. They don't care for government intrusion. And if he goes to New Hampshire and he stays along the eastern seaboard, he's going to have to deliver a different message. He's going to deliver a different message when he go out to Nevada also. And really, Iowa's not really a test because Reagan lost Iowa twice when he ran. And Clinton came in fourth behind Tsongas and Harkin and a uncommitted second place individual. So, Trump do well.
Okay, so what is it about Trump that you like and feel that he will be a great leader of this country?
Well, I think he'd be a great president. Trump is not a politician because he's not going to say things politically correct. I understand what he does say. He's not going to be bought. His statement about Muslims was the right statement. If you left there and got in your car and started driving, you heard a lot of rattling and clanking underneath your hood. What you going to do? You going to pull over until you find out what the problem is. So when he made the statement, he needed to cut off all immigration until the United States find out what the problem is. Come up with a system that'll work.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the funny thing about that, what did Cameron, what did the U.K., Prime Minister Cameron say about Muslims? He said if they don't learn how to speak English, they're going to be deported from Britain. The leader of the Netherlands said if the Muslims don't learn how to speak Dutch, they're going to be deported from the Netherlands. And nobody said anything about that.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it's good to ostracize a certain group of people and just clump them all in together and assume that they're all terrorists and then they can't leave the country? Or then
assuming that they all are terrorists, but you don't know who's not, right? I mean, if your borders are open, you don't know who's coming into your country.
Okay. So what would be a more diplomatic approach, you think? I mean, like, how should that be handled? I mean, obviously, that was extreme. What would have been a better approach? I mean, you know, I think by and large, a lot of people were offended by that. Do you think that's offensive?
Well, I think there could have been a different approach from him because the fact that Americans are not the smartest apples on the trees, politically especially. Maybe he should have said something that would be more conducive and understanding by American population. But as I said before, those in the know and those who keep up with, you know, geopolitical politics and have a idea of what's going on, you know, what he said really wasn't that. You know, United States in history have deported Mexicans who was born here.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. So with you just saying that, basically he doesn't really know how to talk to people, how would he handle a situation with the president of North Korea or Iran? And when these intense talks happen, like, how is he going to effectively, help minimize a situation if he can't talk?
Well, I don't think that he would use the inflamed language at Rubio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would use the inflamed language like Rubio when he called the president of North Korea a maniac, or when he called Putin of Russia a thug. You have to give those people respect. I would hope that he leave Iran alone. Iran has a right to use whatever means possible to protect itself. Did not Obama say that Turkey has a right to protect itself when he shot down that Russian fighter who was over its land for nothing more than mere seconds?
Well, yeah, I see what you're saying, but I guess the point is where we're at now. You need a leader that knows how to be diplomatic. And, of course, sometimes you do have to be stern and get the point across, but you can't have somebody that's going to incite a war. You know, I'm like, if you say the wrong thing to the wrong person, that's just like in the street. You know, you might talk talk over the phone, but you meet the wrong person in the street, it's going to be a problem, right? And then you're dealing with a country like North Korea that is not afraid of us. They're not afraid of the United States.
I don't blame them for not being afraid, but Donald Trump does businesses in these countries. He does business with
them. Is anybody from overseas giving him any backing?
Giving him any backing?
Or, you know, anybody coming out, like, to support him? Like, their allegiance to this guy or anything that you heard of?
Well, I'm sure that there are. Of course, you're not supposed to, it's a no-no to take foreign dollars to support your campaign, even though the U.S. does do just the opposite around the world. But you're talking about war. Obama received a Nobel Peace Prize. And this has been one of the warriest individuals I've seen in the White House, other than a declared war by Congress.
Well, hey, I ain't going to argue with that. I mean, I think they didn't leave when he said he was going to leave, but again, you can't really predict that when you have these type of situations. But I don't know that there was necessarily peace. But I don't know that Donald Trump could bring that. You know,
well, Donald Trump should take the same position that Ron Paul was declaring. You know, just stay out of people's business. If you look at the history of the West, and particularly the United States and Iran, going back to the days of Mossadegh at the end of World War II with Truman and Eisenhower and the Dulles brothers, you can understand why they feel the way they do. You look at 1979, you can understand why Iran feels the way they do. Blacks talk about how they've been mistreated, and they continue to have disdain. Jews talk about in Philadelphia, they mandate the teaching of the Holocaust, something that didn't even occur on U.S. soil. So people don't have short memories.
Well, I definitely agree with that Holocaust thing, that you would have thought it happened in America as much as they talk about it. You know, but again, you know, it really comes down to the people making sure that it's not forgetting. You know, but I think I don't know if they're funding these things themselves, because, like, I guess black folks as a whole don't have the money to fund these type of organizations. Like, the Jewish people stuck together and they build whatever they want to build, and they got the money and the resources.
Well, I hear that coming out of some African American, like the thing of the Bundys, Clive Bundys, and their stance on the land mm-hmm. out there in Dakotas and also in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And when those people stood up for what they felt was right in an armed mm-hmm. fashion. Well, you know, in Georgia, Harris Neck, Georgia, that was black land too, that at the end of World War II, the U.S. Air Force asked them could they use it for a landing strip and that they would give it back. Well, and mm-hmm. today it still hasn't been gave back. So should not blacks make a stance at Harris Neck and say we want our land back?
Well, I mean, I think people have been saying that a long time. You still have never got that 40 acres and a mule. But, you know, that's just one of those things. But and it's funny because just like, like the whole Black Panther movement, a lot of people who never really researched it, again, research ladies, not you, I'm just saying, but people in general who don't know what that was really about. Like from the outside looking in, white folks would think this was the most heinous group ever. Like this was just terrorists and we were just trying to take over the world and do something negative to affect white folks. That wasn't the case. So the point is that whenever we do try to unite, we have to follow through to the end, and whatever cost that is. So,
well,
but
absolutely.
Man, hey.
There have been times when blacks have united. You know, the Black Panther done a very good thing for the Second Amendment as far as the right to bear arms. But, of course, they made some changes on open carry. But you look around the country, you have states like Texas who just passed a very progressive open carry law. My state, Missouri, has also. But, it is what it is. And you have examples out there where individual groups, ethnic groups, have done what they needed to do in order to get what it was that they needed. That should be pursued by more African-American groups also. It is, but it could stand a lot more.
All right. Well, hey, man, I appreciate it. Now, let me ask you this. Are you African-American yourself, or what's your ethnic background?
I'm black African-American. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So
member of the NRA, lifetime member, and also back in Trump. So
okay.
I like your program so far.
Oh, thank you. We try to have some fun. And, you know, of course, these are serious issues, and we try to have our little spin on it. So we thank you for listening. And keep on listening, man. We appreciate it.
Sure.
Now, I'm with the NRA. That's cool. Because I don't believe that it's the people who are actually registering to get guns that's causing the problems, obviously.
It's not. You don't want to get to the point where you have somebody taking your guns like we've seen out of this administration. And you know, the thing is, like Obama made the quote that anyone that's on the no-fly list should not be able to get a gun. Well, hell, they don't even tell you why you're on the no-fly list. Kennedy was on the no-fly list. My congressperson was on the no-fly list. You got people on the no-fly list. You had a man whose 10-year-old boy at the airport was on the no-fly list. They're going to let the mother and father on. We're going to let him on. So that's a real irresponsible statement that he made.
Well, man, we got 90 seconds left. Please keep listening, and we appreciate it. Follow the show online, man, and definitely thank you for your time, man. Have a good one. All right, ladies,
thank
we're
you.
About to wrap it up. 90 seconds. Say your goodbyes, Ms. Tia D.
Goodbye, everyone. Have a good rest of the week. We will see you next week. Make sure you are doing your research on Black History Month, and be blessed. Thanks for tuning in.
Erica Chanel.
I would like to thank everyone for tuning in, especially our impromptu caller. He was very knowledgeable, gave us a different side, a different view, especially from this show, and how he thinks about basically Donald Trump, which is ridiculous, but whatever. Mm-hmm. That's his choice. And, yes, we'll be tuning in next week, correct? We will be here next week. Timothy?
Yes, we will be right here, same time, same place, Nighthouse Radio. Check out, excuse me, the blog. And But, yes, go to timknight.com. You can get more information about everything that we're doing here and the blog. A lot of great information on the blog, nighthouseradio.blogspot.com. So until next time, signing off, and we'll be back next week with some more craziness and some fun. All right? So take care. We'll see you then.